And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode, this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in cold northwest Pennsylvania today, as the snow is accumulating outside. We broadcast each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can watch us live and archive on our YouTube channel. You can go to HagmanandHagman.com for show information, or HagmanReport.com. You can get show information as well as information, news, content, and investigative reports. I am the co-host, Joe Hagman. My father has, Doug Hagman, has the night off tonight, and we got a great show lined up for you. Dr. Ted Breuer will be our guest, and we're going to get into a number of issues from news to nutrition and everything in between. His website is healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. They are our go-to nutritional outlet for the Hagman Report, and they do a fantastic job. We got a lot of stuff to get into tonight. I'm not sure if Ted's on. We're dark. We have audio only tonight, which we're just changing things up here a little bit, and it's kind of a relaxed day, but we are still live on audio, on YouTube, on Global Star, and on Blog Talk. There's some interesting things going on today. Okay, thanks, Eric. Ted is ready. I just want to hit this one headline, and we'll bring Ted on. I don't know how many people saw this. This is probably the most important headline to me today, maybe this week. President Trump says persecuted Christians will be given priority as refugees. And this is so important. We saw throughout the Obama administration, and we've talked with experts and people in the know as far as the immigration and refugee numbers. You're talking about 99.5% Muslims compared to Christians when Christians are being persecuted and killed in the Middle East, left and right, by Islamic extremists and ISIS. Well, Trump is changing things up, and he is giving priority status to Christians, which is something that has been needed for a long time to do this properly, because it's not just Muslims who are being, you know, persecuted by ISIS or on the short end of the stick of violence by ISIS. It is the Christians, from the Yazidi Christians, those who are fighting against ISIS, to the many Christians throughout Iraq and Syria and Libya and other nations. It's been going on for a long time, the beheadings, you know, just the senseless violence. And it looks like finally the administration and the U.S. government will stop turning Christians away, as I'm not sure how that came about. I'm sure it was strategic on the Obama administration's part. You got to try really hard when bringing in refugees from these war-torn areas not to get Christians, or at least, you know, as one of our guests earlier this week talked about, 10 to 15% Christian population, and you're getting less than 0.5% of Christians here. It seemed like there was intentions behind not allowing Christians into the U.S. So that's the news. President Trump says persecuted Christians will be given priority as refugees. Very important. Again, our guest tonight is Dr. Ted Breuer from healthmasters.com, and Ted is with us now. How's it going, Ted?
Joe, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I am just blessed, and I'm glad to be with you guys tonight. So thank you for having me on. It's always my pleasure to be here. And I agree with you 100% that that's probably the best news we've heard all week, is that Trump is now going to allow Christians who are being persecuted and beheaded and killed and treated with complete disrespect and disdain in many of these Muslim countries to be brought into the United States first. But we have to understand something. You know, when Saddam Hussein was in Iraq, Christians were pretty much welcomed in Iraq, and they loved Christians, and a large percentage of the population was Christian in Iraq. And then after the United States went in and bombed that country into rubble, a lot of the persecution occurred against the Christians, because Saddam Hussein was protecting the Christians. And so the same thing is true in some of these other countries, in Libya, in Syria, Joe. When we go in and we bomb these countries into rubble and they see us as the great Satan from the West, they really recognize that we're primarily Christians here, and so it does have a tendency to cause tremendous blowback on the people that are Christians living in those countries, in which they're massively persecuted because they're feeling as though they're treating them with the same type of treatment they were given. So I am so happy that Trump hopefully will change this Middle Eastern policy and stop bombing these countries into rubble, and will allow these persecuted Christians to be able to get out while they still can before themselves and their families are killed. Joe, what do you think?
No, I think you're exactly right, and you said something that I believe is very true. It wasn't just the ignoring or, not wanting to bring Christians here. There was, it seemed to be, the disdain and, the dislike, and not only that, the actions behind disliking the Christians, and it seemed very intentional that, when you talk about the number of Muslims versus Christians that have been brought here, when you're talking about less than 0.5%, and as you said, the Christian populations in these Middle Eastern countries did have, they were safe from in Libya with under Gaddafi to Assad in Syria. One thing that, that they talk about these terrible, dictators and tyrants, but they protected Christians. And once we went in there as a government, as a military, and started civil war in these countries and tore them apart, that's when these extremist Islamic elements were able to band together and to come against Christians, and we offered them no protection, even though it was our doing in the first place, which brought their country to its knees with chaos.
That's exactly right. And the sad part about this is there have been so many beheadings and so many Christians have been persecuted and killed there, and yet our mainstream globalist-controlled media remains silent because the globalist-controlled media wants massive diversity in the United States to cripple the Christian nation that we once were and are now trying to become once again. And I remember Obama's famous words were something like, the United States is not a Christian nation regardless of what we once were, because he's trying to do, as Cloward Piven indicates, to bring enough people in a social welfare state to destroy the population through government handout programs, which they've tried their best to do over the past, 20-25 years, Joe. In fact, it's been absolutely brutal the last 8 years with the gay Kenyan. And the sad part about all of this stuff is it never ends. It just goes on and on and on. Quite frankly, if I was Trump, I would, one of my first executive orders would be to unseal all of Obama's personal records, because his first executive order was to seal his personal records. I would unseal them, let the entire world get a look at whether he went to school here or there or anywhere, and where he came from and what his background is. And I would put to rest once and for all where he was born, which I believe it was Kenya, and a lot of other people do too, because now we know that his birth certificate is a complete and total fraud, which we knew that many, many years ago. But I really think Trump needs to do that. But I guess what he's trying to do, Joe, is preserve the dignity of the presidency and not to diminish it, because he probably doesn't want the world to know there was a usurper in the White House. I remember Alan Keyes when Obama won, he was so angry, and he said, we now have a usurper in the White House. He is a Kenyan. He does not belong there, and he should not be the president of the United States. And he was so right, Joe. And we have 8 years of his massive, massive, horrible socialist, communist, heirs, philosophies, and all of the stuff that Hillary helped him to do, including the destruction of Libya when they wanted to simply start using and trading for gold with oil, or trade in euros like Saddam Hussein wanted to do. And sadly, nobody wants to talk about this, though our generals have said that there were going to be about 7 countries that were going to be destroyed in the Middle East, because the central bank, our quote-unquote overlords with a small L, want to control us any way they possibly can, which they've been doing since the onset of this great country. And the sad part about this is, as long as they control the currency, they will control the country. And we really need to nationalize the assets of the Federal Reserve. We can't get rid of the Federal Reserve banking empire, because they pretty much put all of the smaller banks out of business. But what we have to do is nationalize the assets. This is the same thing that was done in Germany in 1933. The assets of that Federal Reserve system that had caused and created the Weimar Republic were nationalized, and Germany was able to print debt-free currency. In fact, Germany's prosperity was so crazy that Time magazine made Hitler Man of the Year, because he decided to stand against the central banking cartel that rules the world, so to speak, with money, their Babylonian money magic, and he allowed Germany to prosper as a nation not tied to a fiat currency that was based on debt. And that's the craziest thing, Joe, is unless we get rid of the debt-based currency and get rid of this crazy Keynesian economics philosophy that we have, this is not going to get fixed with Trump or any other administration until somebody has enough guts to say, let's do executive order 11110 all over again, like President Kennedy did, and start putting money into circulation that is debt-free and not have to pay the Federal Reserve Bank. And what I would do when I nationalize them, I would declare all of the debt that we owe to them basically illegal, and I would seize it. I would probably seize their assets they've gained illegally in the United States. And also, I would probably find out some way we'd have to pay these people back who bought this illegal debt, or force the Rothschild banking cartel under court order in the United States to liquidate portions of their assets, which they're in the hundreds of trillions, if not quadrillions of dollars, to pay back to creditors like China and many of the other countries in the world that bought our treasury notes and bonds. Because guys, that's what they did. They were so smart. They allowed themselves to diversify and not just buy their own debt like a banana republic would do with the Federal Reserve Bank. They basically sold it to other countries to force them to supply us the currency to allow us to have this expansive, you know, huge growth we've had in the United States in the last 50, 60 years. But sadly, sooner or later, we got to pay that mess. Joe, what do you think?
You know, this is a topic that I've been wanting to get into more is, you know, we see all these changes Trump is making, the executive orders, the rolling back of the Obama policies, the tightening up of our southern border and expanding the powers for detention and deportation to DHS and the Border Patrol. And all those things he was able to do very quickly. Now, I do believe that Trump understands the problems with the U.S. economy, at least that the Federal Reserve is not a part of our government, yet it controls our monetary system. It's the reason we are in so much debt. And I wonder, just like you alluded to with John F. Kennedy doing his own executive order, many speculate that's the reason he was killed, if Trump is going to try to fix this. I can't imagine him not, especially with the supporters and his supporters. He's been following a lot of what he promised due to what his supporters wanted him to do. And I wonder about the Federal Reserve. And I do believe that he will try to fix this in a way or another. And this will be an indicator what kind of a president he really is. And this is the indicator, I would say.
Well, there's two things that we can really use as an acid test. Munchen right now has basically backing, this is the Treasury Secretary appointed by Trump, is backing the Fed's independence and signals that the reform of the Federal Reserve is not a priority under this administration. Now, I warned everybody about this on your show and on my show weeks ago when they basically put a Goldman Sachs insider into this. And this article basically says, it's from Torres, it says, the U.S. Treasury Secretary nominee Steve Munchen isn't jumping on the Republican bandwagon to audit the Fed. In written questions by senators following his confirmation hearing on Thursday, Munchen was asked about his thoughts on politicizing decisions made by the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and the benefits of an independent central bank. And he answered very, very carefully. He says the Federal Reserve is organized with sufficient independence to conduct monetary policy and open market operations. Munchen responded to Senator Bill Nelson. He goes, I endorse the increased transparency we have seen from the Federal Reserve over recent years. Now, in other words, he didn't say anything about going in and getting rid of this mess or doing a full-blown audit, which is what Ron Paul's called for. So unless we get rid of this Rothschild Kabbalist mafia control over our country, it's not going to get any better, Joe, long-term wise. Also, the second thing we have to look at for the second acid test is, are the chemtrails going to stop? You know, we're still getting sprayed with chemtrails down here in Florida, but though it was not as bad when Obama was in, but we're still getting sprayed. So this could be a policy the CIA has implemented, or this could be a policy that jet fuel was sent out all over the country and is still being burned that had additives in it. I don't know. But the chemtrails are very real still here in Florida, and we need to see if that comes to an end. If the CIA was in control of it, now that we have a new head of the CIA who claims that he's a Christian and that Jesus Christ is the answer, if that truly is what's going on and we have open transparency in our government, Joe, perhaps we'll get rid of the chemtrails and this constant spraying us like we're like, you know, weeds in a garden that's getting sprayed with Roundup. I mean, this is some awful stuff. We've done entire shows on your program on chemtrails and what they're spraying on us and how a lot of this stuff are going to be nanotags and biologicals and Morgellons and all kinds of other crazy things that have been linked back to chemtrails. This stuff has to stop. So unless the Trump administration stops the chemtrails and gets rid of the Fed, To me, it's going to be politics as usual, though it'll give us the illusion of getting some of the things that we want, and hopefully, though, it will slow down the mass erosion of moral fiber in the United States. And basically, Trump called Madonna disgusting this week for what she had done and how basically it was not good and it hurt her cause. And I agree with him. And now that basically the Secret Service is investigating her and probably going to pay her a visit for threatening to blow up the White House. But these guys are a bunch of crybabies, Joe. As far as I'm concerned, they won. I mean, they lost. We won. And hopefully we've got a real person in the White House. I remember a year ago your dad asked me on the show, do you consider Trump to be real? And I said, I don't know yet. I said, I don't trust him 100%. I don't know what he's going to do. But putting Manchin in at the Federal Reserve, unless he's just doing it to get inaugurated, Joe, he may be waiting to get rid of the Federal Reserve in his second term. He may be waiting, hopefully he's going to win, because if he starts with this and throws the country into a massive, massive recession or depression right now, he'll never be reelected in 4 years. So he may be holding off on that to try to get a handle on the monetary system, the treasury, and everything else before he starts putting someone into that position who will get rid of the Fed. What do you think, Joe?
As you said that, I kind of, my ears perked up when you said in the second term. Trump, he has a lot of stamina and energy for being as old as he is. Was he 70 years old? And the second term is not guaranteed, and just my initial opinion when you said that is I would rather him go through one term and to fix these things now than to wait for a second term. But there's no guarantee that it's going to be fixed either way, especially the right way. And it does open him up to retaliation and the threat of, an economic implosion and subsequent civil war, possibly, from those actions. But we got to start somewhere. So in my mind,
you're absolutely right. In fact, there's a really good article online. People can read it. I'll read part of it real quick. And it's called All Wars Are Banker Wars. It was written a couple of weeks ago. And it's by a name of a guy named Michael Rivero, R-I-V-E-R-O. And he did probably one of the greatest synopsises of what happened with the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States and how the Rothschild banking cartel basically has this stranglehold over the entire planet. And his second paragraph says, the United States fought the American Revolutionary War primarily over King George's III's Currency Act, which forced the colonists to conduct their business using only printed banknotes borrowed from the Bank of England at interest. After the Revolution, the new United States adopted a radically different economic system in which the government issued its own value-based money so that, like the private banks like the Bank of England, were not siphoning off wealth of the people through interest-bearing banknotes. The refusal of King George III to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system, which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators, was probably the prime cause of the revolution. That's a direct quote by Benjamin Franklin. And see, this is crazy, because then Alexander Hamilton instituted another bank that was going to be the same thing in 1791. It was gotten rid of, and then by 1812, the Bank of England wanted to reinitiate it again with the Rothschild cartel backing them, and they started the War of 1812, which then they ended that war by putting in another bank, as you know, the Bank of America, and Andrew Jackson in 1832 got rid of that, and shortly after they tried to kill him. And then it was the same thing. The whole history is wrought with the bankers trying to control the money supply of the United States going all the way up to 1913, which they were able to compromise Woodrow Wilson into doing so. So unless we can get this tentacle off of us, this horrible, horrible tentacle, it's not going to do any good. In fact, this is a quote from Andrew Jackson. I love this guy. He goes, gentlemen, I too have been a close observer of the doings of the Bank of the United States. I've had men watching them for a very long time, and I'm convinced that you have used the funds of the bank to speculate in the breadstuffs of the country. When you won, you divided the profits amongst you, and when you lost, you charged it to the bank. You tell me that if I take deposits from the bank and annul its charter, I shall ruin 10,000 families. That may be true, gentlemen, but that is your sin. Should I let you go on, you will ruin 50,000 families, and that would be my sin. You are a den of vipers and thieves, and I have determined to rout you out by the Eternal, bringing his fist down on the table. I will rout you out, Andrew Jackson said shortly before ending the charter of the Second Bank of the United States. So, guys, Andrew Jackson's pretty cool, and they just said that this week that Donald Trump hung a picture of Andrew Jackson in the Oval Office, which I thought was pretty good. So we'll see what he's going to do. In fact, if I had been Trump, Joe, I would have had myself inaugurated with the Jacksonian, Andrew Jackson's Bible, if they have that available, if it's not in a private collection, when I took my oath of office. Because unless somebody does this, we are never going to free ourselves from the clutches of the money changers. These are the same group of people, basically, that Jesus called the synagogue of Satan and was basically throwing over their money tables in the temples in Israel and basically ran them out of the temples. Same group of people. There's the synagogue of Satan. And unless this thing stops, it's never going to be right, Joe. Not on this world, not in this country, nowhere. We've got to free ourselves from the clutches of this nonsense and the lunacy of Keynesian economics. And we have to go back into an Austrian-based model of economics. And we need to realize that unless we do this, we're never going to let our children and our grandchildren be free. So this is one of the first things that I believe Trump needs to do. And, of course, it is one of the things that John F. Kennedy did do. And, of course, it was immediately rescinded, that executive order, by Johnson, when, of course, Johnson was involved in the death of Kennedy, which we now all know that. So interesting take on all of this. What do you think, Joe?
No, I think you're exactly right. And people need to understand that with any type of change, for the better, you're going to go through a period of rough times. And you can look at it in terms of working out or whatever, however you want to do it. To gain that muscle, you got to go through some pain and endurance and, put the work in. And that's how it's going to be with the Federal Reserve and with our economy. It might seem rough and it might be rough at times, but if it's for the greater good for not only America, but for, the world, then that's something that we're going to have to go through and endure that pain in order to come out on the other side with much better opportunity and possibility.
No, you're exactly right. And the thing about it is, though, we can greatly diminish the effect of this by nationalizing the Federal Reserve Bank. See, their infrastructure, their wire transfers, their banks, the tellers, all of the things that are owned by these guys, this huge network, if we nationalize it and we take control back from the Federal Reserve and we nationalize their assets, which we can do, which was done in Germany in 1933, if we do this, we can pretty seamlessly transition into a debt-free currency. Now, it's going to have some bumps, exactly like you said, and it's trying to figure out how to do it. But by not doing it, we're just destining the country to greater and greater debt. I mean, we would have a national debt, a deficit, a $20 million debt, which is much higher. We know it's over $100 million with unfunded liabilities. We wouldn't have any of that if the United States had the ability to print, non-interest-bearing currency, Joe. I mean, if we just printed up what we needed.
Yeah. And Ted, I don't know if you got cut off there, but the wealth of this nation has been systematically withdrawn and given to the top percentile, the people who are behind the levers of control of this system. And it's unfortunate because, we look at the value, what $1 bought back at the beginning when the Federal Reserve System was implemented in 1913 versus today, we've lost over 98% of the purchasing power, or the value of our dollar. And that is astronomical, and then you look at, you only have 1 or 2% more wiggle room to go. Even the Federal Reserve has said, if there is another crisis, they have no more tools in their toolbox to fix the situation, as they did with quantitative easing and all the other measures that they have conducted in the past and used in the past. They will be without those measures. And
okay, there.
There we go.
So you back, Joe?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Sorry. I have no idea where I left off, buddy.
Well, we were just talking about, you were talking about the nationalization of the Federal Reserve banks and the tellers and the systems that they have in place, that we would be able to, as Germany did in 1933, nationalize everything and become part of a debt-free monetary system, which is exactly what we need. And I was talking about the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, losing 98% of its purchasing power since 1913, only having another percent or two to go, and the Federal Reserve themselves saying they have no remedy if another economic crisis were to come. They're out of tools in their toolbox to use. Quantitative easing was apparently their last, hurrah in being able to remanipulate the currency. So we're either going to get a change from the presidency nationalizing or creating a new system of a new monetary system, or the Federal Reserve System is going to absorb the rest, what little wealth there is left out of the middle class and out of the country. And when they do that, a new system will have to be rolled out anyway. And I'd prefer the system being fixed rather than it reach it, you know, the point where it has absorbed all the wealth out of our nation.
Well, what they did in Germany in the early 20s, my mom was there. She was born in Germany in 1916, and she was a young child. She said she remembers going to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread and having to take 40 billion marks with her in a wheelbarrow to buy a loaf of bread. In fact, the firewood would cost more than the marks did, so they would actually burn German dollars, you know, in low denominational sets. Instead of burning firewood in the furnace in the house, they would burn money because it was so worthless because there was so much of it. And this is what the bank did in the Weimar Republic after the Treaty of Versailles, which was basically controlled by the money mafia. And what ended up happening is they hyperinflated the currency in Germany. They completely destroyed the middle class and the aristocracy, and they took over everything. They took over. They stayed right ahead of the inflation curve. And they bought up all the blue chip stocks, they bought up the gold, they bought up things that had tangible assets that had actually value themselves, and then they hyperinflated the currency, and then the people that were left with just having money in the bank were left with nothing. And that's one of the reasons that Germany went through such a horrible, horrible time in the 20s. And by 1928, 29, you know, we know that we had a lot of American interest pouring a lot of money into Germany after the money and the currency had been reset and they issued new money in the Weimar Republic. And of course, the Great Depression hit when the Federal Reserve Bank contracted the M1 money supply here in 1929, which rippled through the entire planet. And then of course, that brought on the fascists, you know, because that gave Hitler a foothold to get in and tell everybody what these international bankers had been doing. And then in 1933, when he became Fuhrer, he got rid of the entire monetary system there as far as from a debt-based currency system. And they were incredibly angry at him because he was able to build Germany back debt-free, fight all of World War II debt-free without having to borrow money from the money changers.
And that's right, Ted. Hey, we're up against the break. Sorry to cut you off there. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report with Dr. Ted Brewer from HealthMasters.com. He'll be with us till the end of the broadcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Our guest this evening is Dr. Ted Brewer of HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com is our go-to nutritional site for all of our vitamin supplements, and Ted has done a fantastic job. They manufacture their own vitamins and supplements and believe in them wholeheartedly and are the best supplements on the market from the vitamin B to the ultimate vitamin. And Ted, you sent me a message earlier, and we can get into this later if you want. The product you're showcasing tonight, the cortisol buster.
We just released this, Joe. It's a phenomenal product. I have a picture of it to show on the air, but you guys are doing audio only tonight. And what
we got
the YouTube up.
And we have the picture
up for
you.
It took a long time to put this product together because of what it contains. And it has a group of different herbs in it that really, really do all types of interesting things. I'm going to cover them real quickly. It has a product called Relore in there, which is a patented proprietary blend of the magnolia. And it's a bark extract, and they have a history of traditional use in treating stress and occasional feelings of anxiousness, which is kind of interesting. In modern times, they and their actives are used to relax and support people and basically help to fight stress, which I thought was really good, and also helps to stop stress-related eating. Secondly, in this product called Sensorilla, which is the ashwagandha. And this is a very good product. By the way, we have it tested. We have a DNA testing machine that makes sure that it actually is in there, because that's the problem with this ashwagandha herb, is that a lot of people are using like celery, et cetera, to pretend like it's this herb, and it's not. All of our stuff has been tested. The ashwagandha has been revered as an adaptogen, which means it changes what your body needs. For thousands of years, it's used to balance, energize, and revitalize the body, and it increases the brain capacity and cognitive enhancer. The results of the trial, I'll cover them just in a minute, have been absolutely amazing, off the charts, including healthy cortisol, which is a stress hormone, and healthy DHEA levels, which is the mother of all hormones. And by doing that, it massively increases libido in men and in women. And the studies have shown that. I've got clinical studies on that. The clinical research also suggests that 50 to 200 milligrams of sustenine, which is the next one that's in there, actually naturally stimulates brain activity, known as the alpha waves, which are associated with relaxed but alert mental state. And finally, we use the banaba leaf, and it's 1% carlisolic acid and marial extracts, and it basically has a long history used in folk medicine, particularly in Southeast Asia, as a blood sugar regulator. More recently, animal and research studies on this particular leaf, including carlisolic acid, suggest multiple mechanisms influence glucose and lipid metabolism. So it helps to control and have healthy blood sugar. Plus, again, it also uses to increase libido. Now, what's interesting about this, Joe, just the ashwagandha is an adaptogenic herb. It's been traditionally used for arthritis, asthma, bronchitis, cancer, candida, fever, inflammations, nausea, rheumatism, the list goes on, diabetes. It has a reputation as a sedative and as a anti-inflammatory. And it also really helps both men and women to increase their libidos, actually increases sperm concentration by 167% in men and increases women's luteinizing hormone by 34%. And the reason I'm giving you I've got the studies to back up ashwagandha and what it does. It's so important that you guys understand that. But the majority of that stuff on the market today is not even real. In a second study, 180 infertile men were given 5 grams of this for 3 days for 3 months, which is a high concentration, and it massively increased sperm concentration, motility, and free radical damage improved significantly, and it can be used as an alternative treatment for male infertility. In a study of 50 women with female sexual dysfunction that was an underactive sexual drive, it had a significant improvement in the group that used it. Now, it sounds like it's kind of like an all-over, does-everything kind of product, and it's pretty doggone good with that because it's a phenomenal herb. Okay. In addition to that, the root extract twice a day, given 300 milligrams, which is 2 of our capsules, during the 8 weeks, they had a massive increase in strength training. They got much, much stronger, bigger arms, bigger muscles, more energy, more body fat being burned. It increased endurance. It had increase in cardiorespiratory endurance more than the placebo group. And in stress, it showed that ashwagandha, which is in our product, which is the real ashwagandha, when given a placebo of 300 milligrams for 60 days, the scores of perceived stress dropped by 44%. 98 people suffering from stress were given a placebo of ashwagandha, and the people in ashwagandha had improved the well-being in 30 to 60 days. It helps to control anxiety, and this list just goes on and on and on for the cardiovascular system. Helps to reduce blood pressure, according to the research here that's being done. And also, it has significant improvement in some scores on food cravings, which they also had a significantly greater decrease in body fat and their BMI. And their uncontrolled and emotional eating improved significantly. In other words, if you're a binge eater and you like to lay around at night and just uncontrollably eat, which a lot of people do, or you'll walk to the refrigerator and stare at it for 5 minutes trying to figure out what you want to eat and you're not even hungry, probably will help. It also led to a greater improvement in attention, alertness, response speed, central integration, visual motor coordination, and sensory performance. And with diabetes and heart disease, it helped control blood sugar and cholesterol levels and has been shown to improve the LDL and HDL total cholesterols. And then one more thing in osteoarthritis, it was set out to test the traditional claim that it would help to treat arthritis. And the people went on it, and they actually, at the end of the study, they had a better score of pain and stiffness, and they were greatly decreased with the ashwagandha. So, guys, if you want to get the real product, you need to go ahead and go to healthmasters.com website, and the name of the product is Cortisol Buster. And all of these ingredients are in high enough concentrations, and they're the real ingredients. We've had them all tested in our product to make sure they're for real and not some fake celery leaf or plant somebody ground up in their backyard. This is the real deal. This product is absolutely amazing. And if it does not do what you want it to do, it's like $39. It's a great price point. If it does not do what you want within 30 days, just send it back to me and you'll be able to get your refund. In fact, what I do with the Hagman Lister is it doesn't even make any difference. If it doesn't do what it's supposed to do in 30 days, you can just call me up and I'll give you a refund and you can keep what's left in the bottle. That's how confident I am on this product, Joe, because what I've seen it do already in myself with mental acuity and being sharp and alert and increasing libido is ridiculous. And so this product is amazing. So once you guys start on this one, you're going to want to stay on this one. And it really helps to combat stress, like I said, and binge eating and increasingly muscle weight. So it's available at healthmasters.com. And thank you so much for letting me plug the product because, again, if you guys can support Health Masters with anything that you do, we are so blessed because, guys, we appreciate you so much. And I want you guys to know that all of the herbs that we use are tested and they pass their analysis. We have new equipment that can actually analyze herbs that is state of the art. We invested in it to ensure the herb, the season are all active and really you're getting what you're supposed to be getting from the supplier. Ashwagandha, again, is one that seems to be flooding the markets and certainly the one that has the most junk floating around that really is not ashwagandha. So if you're buying it anywhere else, guys, be careful because it may not even be real and it may not even work. We have the strongest available, period. We have human clinical trials. And like all adaptogens, they're kind of like a dimmer switch, a smart herb that knows when to turn down. And so marl extract is used in lieu of ginseng in this product because it does not overstress the adrenals with long-term use. So guys, this is the product you've been waiting for if you have any of the problems that we've talked about just in the last few minutes. And I tell you what, I just took four of them, Joe, before I got on the show about an hour ago. And dog, I tell you what, this stuff makes me feel right. And I tell you, it just, I mean, what it does, it makes you really alert without being hyper, if that makes any sense. It's not like a coffee thing where you get all hyper and all geeked up. So yeah, this is a great product. You stack this on top of some purple sticks, you got the ticket.
It's funny, Ted, you're probably the only person I've ever met who deals with health products and vitamins and supplements, nutritional supplements, and you present it in a way where I actually want to, you know, try it.
Well, I'll send you a bottle, Joe. We just released it today. It's brand new on the website. I'll send you and your dad some up on Monday, let you guys try it. And I tell you what it does, it just makes you have just tremendous mental focus. You just kind of see things in a bright light and everything kind of makes sense. And I love this stuff personally. In fact, Sharon takes it, I take it, Austin takes it, man, we all take it. We love the stuff. Of course, we're the first ones we clinically tested it on because we want to make sure that if we're going to be taking the stuff, that's going to work. And so we always make sure all of our products work. And that's why I'm giving you guys 100% money back guarantee. After 30 days, it doesn't do what I tell you it does. Take four of these things a day. And if you don't love it, call me up. Call Health Masters back. Don't even have to return the product. I'll refund your money. I can't do that with anybody but my listeners and Hagman listeners, Joe, because we got too many people out there that would take advantage of something like that and basically say it didn't work when it did just to get a free bottle. And we don't, well, your guys don't do that because you're the only other company, you're the only other show we do besides our show with that offer because let me put it this way. I can't do that on something like Coast to Coast because they come out of the woodwork on that show. You guys have the smartest, most intelligent audience that we have, and of course we have a huge crossover in our audience. Oh, by the way, Joe, did you know that Google has now permanently banned 200 publishers since it passed a new policy against fake news? I mean, this is crazy. It is really hurting a lot of people.
I've seen you know, people having their Twitter accounts censored or put off for, you know, days or weeks or suspended, and I've seen you know, the Facebook and the fake news opposition research that they're trying to do and implement algorithms and put people in place to combat fake news, but I have not heard that 200 accounts were closed specifically for the reason of fake news.
Yep. In fact, I'll read it to you. This is by Tess Townsend. It was released, the article came out January 25th, and it's called Google has banned 200 publishers since it passed a new policy against fake news. Google kicked 200 publishers off of one of its ad networks in the fourth quarter, partly in response to the proliferation of fake news sites. Now, I will say this, though, Joe. There are a lot of news sites out there that are complete crap. They don't tell you anything. They lie about everything they're saying just to do it. They're almost like a spoof website, like Onion News. It's like they do this just to try to confuse people. The company banned the publishers from its AdSense network, an ad placement service that automatically serves text and display ads on participating sites based on its audience. The ban was part of an update to an existing policy that prohibits sites that mislead users with their content. Google regularly weeds out advertisers for false or misleading claims, but impersonating news sites became an addition following the rapid rise of fake news or propaganda sites. After the election, Google was blasted for placing a false story from a fake news site claiming Donald Trump had won the popular vote. And basically, we believe he did win the popular vote, and I believe that was another lie, too, that they basically promoted on us. This is not all 200 publishers were swept up as part of the effort to root out fake news sites. Publishers banned in November, December, and included sites that impersonate real news organizations, though shortened top-level domains, according to Google's 2016 bad ads report normally released at the beginning of each year. So, guys, this is what they're doing. We told you they were going to do it, and they're doing it because, guys, they don't want to pay alternative news people, and they can just routinely say, fake news, we're getting rid of you. We're not going to let you use Google AdSense any longer. We're not going to allow you to generate any revenue off of your site. And we had it happen to a good friend of ours, Alexander Bruce from Forbidden Knowledge TV, and also she has a website called Forbidden Knowledge. I urge all of you to get on her Forbidden Knowledge website, sign up for her free newsletters, and they have banned her as far as her traffic and her general revenue increase. She was making like $15,000 a month a few years ago, and it's dropped down to less than probably $500 a month now, Joe, because they have banned her and banned a bunch of the ads and demonetized a bunch of what she was doing. And it's happening all over the alternative news because they don't want to give alternative news a chance to stay on the air and fund itself. That's why we're so blessed at Health Masters that we have the ability to fund ourselves because we produce the highest quality supplements in the world, and we've been around for 37 years. And so, quite frankly, I thank God Almighty for that. And when you guys support Health Masters, you know, you help support the Hagman Show and the Hodges Show and the Sheila Zawinski Show and everybody else, because we try to do our best at supporting alternative radio and alternative media because it's so, so important that we all understand that. Oh, all the way, you also saw there's another article by Louis Miranda that Donald Trump is calling for an investigation on voting fraud. And I watched the TV a little bit tonight before the show. And I was watching ABC, which is like one of the worst, and they were hammering him for this and saying that it was all a lie, there was no voting fraud, blah, blah, blah. And well, they're the ones that are the fake news.
Did you see the study that came out today? The study shows that 800,000 illegals voted for Hillary. And this was just released today. I believe it was linked up on the Drudge Report. And it's from the Washington Times. Clinton received 800,000 votes from non-citizens, this latest study shows. And it goes on to talk about how this lends credence to Trump's argument, even though it falls short of the 5 million illegal voting estimate that Trump said. There's a political scientist on here from Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, and he talks about this groundbreaking research on non-citizen voting this week and posted the study in response. And they're saying that this adds credibility to Trump's arguments that there were illegal aliens, non-citizens, who voted for Clinton in the election. And my dad also did a video. It's on HagmanReport.com, and it's under the investigative section there. And it's voter fraud exposed, and he talks about this as well. So not only is there evidence to support what Trump said, we can't forget when Obama, before the election, he was interviewed. He talked about, you know, he was asked a question, if I'm illegal and I vote, will the government come after me? And he talked about, no, if you vote, you're a citizen, and the voter rolls are not transferred to any federal authorities, so there's no way that you'd get in trouble for this. Almost indicating, yes, go vote. Anybody who's illegal, just go vote. You're allowed. And for the media to turn around and say that, especially after the voter fraud allegations or the voter manipulation allegations from the Russian hacking story that they hammered down our throats for 2 months plus, you know, and they talk about how Trump's questioning of voter fraud is hurting the integrity and credibility of the election process and the election system. It's a joke to see these people now turn around and to, you know, put him down for questioning the same things only in a truthful way, where their Russian hacking allegations of voter manipulation was completely fabricated. And it's amazing to see this constant, insane liberal assault on Donald Trump that's in the media today. It's getting to a point where it's laughable.
Well, they're in desperate mode. I mean, you know, we got Madonna, we've got Katy Perry, we've got the entire satanic left. And I'm saying that very sincerely, the satanic left, doing everything they possibly can to destroy our country, to bring in a communist New World Order under Lucifer. And the problem is Donald Trump has thrown a giant wrench into that, and I just hope he stays true to himself, because, you know, when Kennedy came in, the mob bought backed him, and then he turned on the mob. I'm not 100% convinced that we had people that were unsavory backing Donald Trump that we just didn't know about to get him to the level that he got to so quickly. The problem is that he going to stay true to what he said he's going to do, which so far he's been doing it dead on. But like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, with Munchen, that was one of those things that you don't know what he's going to do, except he just told us he has no interest in auditing the Fed or basically, you know, doing a full audit on them or making them fully transparent, which he needs to do. But they don't want to do that, Joe, because they don't want to show everybody how it's just a giant Ponzi scheme like Bernie Madoff was running. You know, it's like Bernie Madoff. I mean, he was in the middle of all of this stuff. You know, he, the last person he met with, he flew to Switzerland and met with Mark Rich. I mean, people don't even know that. I mean, this is a one corrupt group of people with how they work and how they interact together when you get into that billionaire level, because they don't want people to know what's really happening at the inner workings. Oh, by the way, I just got a text from Austin, who's the president, who's my son, who's my co-host on my show that we do every day from 3 to 4, and it plays exactly immediately after the show tonight with you guys every night, 5 days a week. And he said that he's going to run the Doug 5 coupon starting tonight until the end of this month. So it's going to be Doug 5 on the coupon, which is 5% off everything that you get at Health Master. So now you can pretty much get 3 bottles of the ashwagandha extract with our product that we have, the cortisol buster, and you can turn around and get free shipping on that, and be able to have enough of that supply to last for you and your wife. So that's a phenomenal value at 5% off. It's Doug 5 on everything on the website, including all of the specials we're having there already, and along with all the package goods. I mean, you can get like 3 of the HGH stimulants for a big discount, and you get another 5% off of that. So great product. So anyhow, but I think Donald needs to go ahead and do the investigation for the voting fraud immediately. Also, guess who financed over 50 anti-Trump protests around the country, Joe? And I know you already know the answer to this. That would be George Soros.
Right?
Yep. And this guy now is filing a lawsuit on Donald Trump, and I have no idea why. And I personally think that he needs to sign an executive order against all of the Soros organizations, making them terrorist organizations like Black Lives Matter and MoveOn.org, and getting rid of this guy once and for all, like Russia has done, and say, you're not allowed in our country anymore, and let him go ahead and go straight back to wherever he wants to go to. And if he wants to live the rest of his life in Israel or in Switzerland, let him do that. But guys, he really, really needs to be out of the United States and out of everybody's here. This guy has wrecked entire countries with their currency by shorting currencies and longing currencies and all kinds of stuff that he does on an international level with billions and billions of dollars. And so he's got a lot of money, and I cannot believe he's still alive. He's got to be close to 90 if he's not in his 90s by this point. And he's just one of those guys. It's just one of these sicko globalists that needs to be just banned from the United States.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joe?
And I heard, I read yesterday that Europe was, and people in Europe were starting to expose him and were coming out and speaking out publicly against him, even some governments, about how, you know, he has been, you know, putting so much money short selling markets, short selling currencies, and influencing people through NGOs and with the power of his money. And we saw that extensively throughout this last election cycle, the paying of protesters, the constant funding of not only Planned Parenthood and not only these left-wing organizations, but directly to the Hillary Clinton campaign. He is at least, if not, you know, one of many people who do this who are rich beyond anybody's wildest dreams, but he seems to be the face of it. And I have no doubt that there are many other like him, but for whatever reason, he has come into the public spotlight. And he does need to be
He's the J.P. Morgan. He's the J.P. Morgan. He's a cutout. I believe this with all of my heart because he was trained in the Bank of England after. He was a Nazi sympathizer. He's a Jew. He was a Nazi sympathizer, turned in his own Jewish families and friends and police, the people that he knew, to try to take their stuff. Was able to get apparently a big enough nest egg together with the Nazis, and he told everybody how much he enjoyed those years he worked as the Nazi sympathizer. And then he went to the Bank of England after World War II. And I believe there he was trained by the Rothschild banking cartel, because they knew at this point that he's pretty much a psychopath, sociopath, or whatever you want to call it, and that he had no moral compass because he was willing to do that. And so now he's been involved with all of this funding and destroying of countries. There's an interesting article that you bring that up, Joe, by Craddock, by William Craddock, and he goes, amid cooling global attitudes towards international institutionalism and open border, anti-sovereign state political policies, George Soros has found himself facing an increasingly resilient and internationally resilient to his non-profit organizations and non-government organizations. On January the 17th, 2016, Macedonian newspaper Republic reported that the January 16th launch of a domestic initiative to investigate and resist the influence of George Soros, exactly what you said, Joe, aligned with non-government organizations and political parties within Macedonia. Co-founder Nikola Sorbov decided to take over the entire civil sector and its abuse and instrumentation to meet the goals of one political party. As the reason for the movement's founding, Sorbov was quoted by Czech publication as calling for all freedom-minded citizens, regardless of ethnic origin, to join the fight against the civilian sector, which was managed by George Soros. The news breaks less than a month after EU officials criticized the Macedonian party leader for comments he made using Macedonia's election commission, allowing foreign ambassadors to interfere in their work, focusing again on George Soros. George Soros's Open Society Foundation works globally to promote liberal ideas, which is communism, and Satanism, and generate support for open border liberal institution policies around the world. Soros is well known for funneling millions of dollars into the U.S. Democratic Party to support Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential election. So yes, the world is waking up to this absolute scoundrel, Joe, and they're saying, you know what, we've got enough of this guy. And you know what, I'm 61 years old. I mean, I've never seen people like this, but of course this guy's again a cutout. Like J.P. Morgan was a cutout for the Rothschild banking empire to get the Federal Reserve passed in 1913. The Rothschilds like to hang in the shadows and be part of the secret government and the secret cabal that runs things from the shadows. That's why Jesus said, let you do what you do from the rooftops and let people see it, shine a bright light on it so everybody will know who you are. These guys like to operate in secret, Joe, and that's why they always use these cutouts like Soros to do what they're doing, because there's no way this guy did what he did on his own to this level of money without having some type of monetary incentive or some type of subsidy from the richest family on the planet, which are probably quadrillionaires. I would think that their debts are, because you know, when you control all of the monetary systems pretty much on the planet and you have all the debt-based currency systems on the planet, so for just a few, you got to have a huge net worth, since everything out there is basically collecting interest for you because it's all debt-based instruments. What do you think, Joe?
No, you're exactly right. And this, you know, back to Soros, this blowback against him is long overdue. And I think it would be very smart of not only the U.S. government, but the governments across the globe to start identifying some of the string pullers, you know, behind their economies, behind their policies. Because the economic world and the political world are so incestuously intertwined to the point of just massive and rampant corruption on a local level, state level, national and international level. And the only way we're going to fix so many of these problems, you know, people talk about world hunger, people talk about, you know, poverty, ending poverty. The only way we're really going to be able to do that is to stop the people who are stealing from the poor, and, you know, feeding themselves and their rich friends. I know that's kind of cliche, but it's what really happens. And as long as we allow these people to, you know, move internationally and let their money influence politics across the globe, we're never going to get to the root of the problem. And if we don't get to the root of the problem, we're never going to fix it. So it is, you know, so important that people understand that we cannot allow these globalists to just use their money. And it's sad today when you see a political party and protesters being bought, and even able to be bought. You know, people used to have principles and values and morals and stood by those principles no matter how much they were offered to go the other way. And that is, we are bankrupt from that today. And then to make it worse, you know, the wealth has been siphoned out of so many hands and given to so few. And these people, for generations, have known and been taught, they were raised on how to manipulate markets, how to manipulate countries to their advantage. And this is one of the root areas of our problem, and it does need to be stopped. Ted, we're up against our break. We're talking with Ted Brewer from healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. We'll be right back after these short messages with more from Dr. Ted Brewer. Stay with us.